Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A story is told about a man who tried to sail around the world, but failed. In fact, he got lost. He was shipwrecked and stranded on a deserted island, on an uncharted island, kind of like Gilligan and his crew. The man lived on this island all by himself. There was no other soul around. And 3 decades later, he was found and rescued. And the expedition team that came to the island to survey for oil discovered and stumbled upon first this little village, well built out of bamboos and coconut husks and all kinds of materials that's found on the island, hand built no less. They were amazed, but they were even more amazed that they found no one except this old man. So the rescuers visited with him for a while and asked, "Who built all this?" And he goes, "I did." He says, "Well, you did it by yourself?" "Of course." He says, "There's nobody else on the island for all these many, many, many days and months. And so I built all this." And then one of the rescuers says, "What is this big structure right here?" What? He goes, "Oh, that's my church. That's where I go and worship the Almighty every Sunday." "Wow, that's pretty good, old man. But there's a building right across from it that just like it. What is that?" The old man said, "Well, that's the church I used to go to." Didn't really care much for the preacher there. I don't know where else to go with that story, but there it is. Now, last Sunday, we were embarking on our Lenten journey during this season of Lent, and we focused on one of the devil's temptations, or the Satan's temptation of our Lord Jesus while he was in the wilderness for 40 days. I mentioned last Sunday that the devil tried to tempt Jesus, tried to create doubt and disbelief in Jesus' mind about who he is, about his relationship with his heavenly Father. I also mentioned last Sunday that the devil tempted Jesus to use his divine power, his almighty power, to meet his own selfish end, to take the easy way out to solve his hunger issue, his personal need to feed his growing appetite, having eaten nothing for 40 days in the wilderness. Well, as I mentioned last Sunday, so I say again today, the devil still uses the same tactics, the same strategy against you and I to this very day. The devil still uses these mind games, and sometimes uses through the people around us, through their words, through their actions, through their whispers, through their gentle conniving. The devil tries to create doubt and disbelief in us. And the devil tries hard to lure us away from having and continue our relationship with God. I gave several examples last Sunday of how the devil continues to use these tactics against us. Now, what Jesus taught us in this story is that meeting and following the Word of God, learning and being able to use and live according to the Word of God, the commands of God and the ways of God, offers us more satisfaction in life than meeting our personal needs and selfish desire, which is only fleeting, short term. What Jesus told Satan was that it is more important for him to do the will of God than to meet his own personal needs. Well, this morning we continue to focus on the devil's other attempts to tempt our Lord's faith in his heavenly Father. But more importantly, we'll focus on the tactical strategy that Jesus used to combat Satan's temptations that led him to be victorious against the devil. So Luke tells us in verses 5 and 7 that the devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant. In an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and the splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, you will all be yours. Oh, yes. The world does have much to offer us. The world does have much to offer you and I. Of course, it has gold, it has riches, it has fame, it has power. And Jesus knew this as well. He wasn't blind to what the world has to offer him. He saw the opulence, the influence, the power, the authority that can be had only if he did one thing: to worship the devil rather than God. Now, there is something else that Jesus saw in the world as Satan offered or showed him in an instant the kingdoms of the world. Jesus saw more than gold, more than wealth, more than power. Jesus saw something that spoke to his compassionate heart. Saw in all the world the anguish, the misery, the suffering, the despair that filled the lives of so many people, including you and me. In a way, you could say that the devil did Jesus a favor by showing him the world, the kingdom of the world, and showed him not only the power and the wealth and the greed and the splendor therein, but also the pain and the suffering and the misery that filled the world. He saw those in so many lives, and that is exactly what he came to do in the world. He came to give hope to those in despair. He came to ease the pain of those who are suffering. He came to bring forgiveness and peace where there is sin and guilt. But you know what? I believe that the devil knew this. I believe that the devil knew what Jesus' mission was: to save and rescue the fallen humanity. And so Satan went straight to that weakest point of Jesus, that compassionate heart of Jesus. And Satan sought to tempt him at that very point. Tempted Jesus to run and control the entire world by himself. You see, Satan knew that if Jesus was able to get control and run and have his way with the world, then Jesus would come to his senses and say, you know what? Now that I run and control the world, I don't have to die on the cross for it. I don't have to be humiliated. I don't have to be tortured, crucified. I don't even have to die on the cross. Because I run the world, I could make it the way I wanted to be. He could bring peace on earth, free from world of evil. And he could bypass the agony of the cross. He could take the easy way out and not have to suffer. He could take the shortcut and not have to endure as he did. What a temptation that was for Jesus. I mean, who among us would have lasted in such temptation, given the choice of dying, crucifying, being crucified and tortured and dying on a cross versus have the control and the power of the world at your hand and do with it as you please? What a temptation that must have been for our Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil knew it. The question was, would Jesus go for it? Would he go for it? Would he choose the easy way out, the shortcut? Well, you and I know the answer to that. He didn't. He didn't. Why? Because it was more important to Jesus to do the will of his Father, to follow the plan of his Father. It was more important to him, just as he said to the devil before, man does not live by bread alone, but with every word that comes from the Father. Jesus was not going to succumb to the devil's temptation because it was more important, more significant to him that his Father's plan be followed, be carried out. And Jesus knows more than any of us, that when you try to do things outside of the Father's will or the Father's plan, when you try to accomplish things your own way, when you try to DIY things without the approval and the consent or even following the instructions of the Master, things go wrong. Things go amiss. When you try to accomplish things your own way with no regard for God and God's will, the result is always disastrous. This whole Lenten season, I've made it a point, me anyway, to be mindful in always referring to things that I want to do with the words, with the will of God, in God's will, if God so wills it. Now, people say, well, that's just a cop-out. You just don't want to do it. No, believe me, there are a lot of things I want to do. But the question is it the will of God? Is it in accordance with what the Father desires for you and for me to do, to accomplish? This is what Jesus wrestled with in the wilderness with the devil. The temptation to do what he wants versus what the Father wanted. And the devil knew that what Jesus came to do is to save humanity, to save us, and the devil offered him the easy way out. Run and control the world, and it's all yours. You don't have to go through all the stuff that you will have to endure and go through. To do it yourself in whatever it is without the will of God, most often will result in disaster. And we learn this early on in the book of Genesis with the story of Abraham and Sarah, whom God promised that they will have descendants as many as the stars in the heavens and the sand, the grain of sand on the beaches. And when they couldn't figure out how this is going to happen, they were going to take care of business themselves apart from, apart from God's plans. And disaster happened. They got Ishmael, which to this very day his descendants continue to wreak havoc among God's people. So Jesus responded once again to Satan's temptation. And he said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is written also in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Worship the Lord your God and him and only him. Now, the question, of course, for us in the 21st century is, what does worship mean to us? Well, you could definitely check the dictionary, Webster's dictionary definition of worship, and you could even Google it. But this is what worship means to me. To worship anything or anyone means to make that thing or that person the center of your universe. That is what worship means to me. And this is what Satan wanted Jesus to do. To frankly worship him and not God. Make Satan the center of Jesus' universe and not his heavenly Father. And frankly, this is what Satan continues to want us to do. This is what why Satan put things in our lives that we end up worshiping, which in according to the book of Exodus is idolatry, putting the Lord our God before, putting the things of this world before the Lord our God. But to this very day, Satan continues to put things and people in our lives, and we oftentimes make them the important part of our lives, the very center of our universe. So I ask you, what or whom do you worship these days? Of course, we're here on Sunday mornings, and the obvious answer is the Lord our God. We worship him alone for half a day on Sunday, right? Well, as followers of Jesus and as cherished children of the Most High God, we are to preach and to worship Christ crucified and resurrected by the one true God. We're not to worship on Sundays apart from the cross of Christ or from his message. We're not to live the 6.5 days of the year, of the week, rather, apart from Christ and the message of the cross. Because Christ and what he did for us through his suffering and death is the very foundation of who we are and what we do. So when asked, when tempted, when questions come at you as to who or what do we worship, our response should be ever confident that it is Christ Jesus in unity and in equality with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That is the center of our universe. That's who we worship. And nothing in all of creation should change that or take precedence over that. The challenge for us, of course, is how do we live that out in our daily lives? After all, there are a lot of things that is offered to us in our everyday lives. a lot of opportunities that is given to us, a lot of people, influential people that we could actually get close to and be able to follow and revere. And that's fine. It's fine to pursue a lot of the things that the world gives us, so long as the center of our universe is the one and only God. And that His will and His will alone we follow and adhere to. So Satan failed once again. Thanks be to God. Satan failed once again to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus remained the spotless Lamb of God. He remained the conquering hero. He was victorious against the temptation that was assailed toward him or against him. And now, for you and I as his followers, we could apply his strength. We could apply his perseverance. We could apply his victory when we ourselves are tempted, when we ourselves are questioned, when we ourselves are at the edge of the precipice deciding whom shall we worship. And for us, the answer is the same as Jesus answered the devil. We are to worship the Lord our God and him alone. And worshiping him means making him the center of our universe, adhering to his will, to his word, to his commands. Well, next Sunday we'll continue with the third attempt of Satan to derail our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's plan to save us from death and eternal damnation. So God willing, come on back. Come on back and let us continue to explore and focus on the strategies and the tactics that we could use against that which Satan will have us do and be.